Well, if you've listened closely this morning, you know that today's readings are all about seeing and about the difference between how we see as human beings and how God sees. In the first lesson from 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel is sent out into the fields to anoint a new king. And he arrives at his place, and Jesse presents his eldest son, Eliab, and he's impressed, to say the least. Eliab looks strong, tall, kingly. Surely this must be the one to be anointed king. But the Lord says to Samuel something that echoes not just through that passage, but I would suggest through all of Scripture. The Lord says, the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so one by one, the sons pass before Samuel, and each time God says no. And finally Samuel says, are there others? And Jesse says, yes, there's the youngest son in the fields, and he calls him into the fields, and this shepherd boy named David goes before Samuel. And God says, he is the one. The least likely candidate becomes the chosen king. And so already we begin to see this pattern. Human vision is limited, but God sees truth. That same theme unfolds even more dramatically in today's gospel. Jesus, in his ministry, encounters this man who is, we are told, blind since birth. And the disciples ask a question that people still ask in many different ways today. They ask, who is to blame for this blindness? Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin? But Jesus refuses that premise entirely. Instead, he heals the man. And his very earthy scene, he reaches down, he spits and mixes it together with the soil and makes mud, and he slathers it on the blind man's eyes. And then he sends him forth to wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man comes back able to see. And then what follows is almost ironic. The man who has been blind since birth sees clearly, while the religious leaders who think they see perfectly are revealed to be spiritually blind. And so they question him. They interrogate his parents. They argue about and with Jesus. They refuse to accept what is right in front of them. What they see with their eyes, their heart cannot imagine. Finally, the once blind man, who by now one assumes is quite frustrated with this challenging and this back and forth, says something quite remarkable. He says, one thing I do know. Though I was blind, I now see. Those words have echoed through centuries of Christian faith, and they found new life in the story of one man whose life was dramatically transformed. In the 18th century, there lived an English sailor named John Newton. Early in his life, Newton made a living and worked in the brutal and inhumane transatlantic slave trade. He captained ships crossing the Atlantic that transported enslaved Africans from across the ocean to the New World. By his own admission, John Newton would describe that time in his life as a dark chapter of his life. But something happened one night in 1748 in the middle of that ocean. There was a violent storm at sea, and Newton feared that the ship would sink and they would all lose their lives. And in a desperate moment, he came up on deck and cried out to God for mercy. And that moment began a slow but profound spiritual awakening in Newton. Over time, he left the slave trade, became a priest in the Church of England, and later became a vocal advocate against slavery. Years later, Newton reflects on that grace that had changed him. And he wrote a hymn that has become one of the most beloved hymns in the church today, Amazing Grace. And in it he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Newton wasn't talking about physical blindness. He was speaking about spiritual blindness, the inability to see the truth about God, the inability to see the truth about others who populate our lives, and perhaps the most important, our inability to see ourselves. For much of his life, he had not seen the evil of the system he was part of. But grace opened his eyes, was blind, but now I see. And that is exactly the kind of transformation we hear of and see in today's gospel. For the blind man receives more than eyesight. As the story unfolds, he begins to see who Jesus really is. At first, he simply says to Jesus, he's a man called Jesus. Then he calls him a prophet. And finally, when Jesus meets him again, he says, "Lord, I believe." And he worships him. For you see, his physical sight leads to spiritual sight. Meanwhile, the Pharisees, still ever present, move in exactly the opposite direction. They insist they can see perfectly, yet their certainty blinds them to the work of God, even when it happens right in front of them. Which raises an uncomfortable question for us this Lent. Where might we be blind? Lent, we are told, is a season of self-examination. It is a time when we ask God to reveal the places where our vision is clouded. Sometimes we are blind to the suffering that occurs around us. Sometimes we are blind to the injustice that surrounds us. Sometimes we are blind to our own faults and failures. And sometimes we are blind to the grace of God that works quietly in our lives. But the good news of the gospel, my friends, is that Christ comes precisely to open blind eyes, and not just any eyes. He comes to open our eyes. He opens our eyes to see the dignity of every human being. He opens our eyes to hear the truth and see the truth about ourselves. And most of all, he opens our eyes to the overwhelming, powerful mercy of God. That is why at the end of our reading from Ephesians this morning, we hear Paul command to us to wake up by saying, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, let me say that faith is not about having perfect vision from the start. It is about allowing Christ to heal our sight, little by little by little. The man in the gospel did not heal himself. He simply trusted Jesus and followed Jesus' command to wash in the pool, as he was told. Grace. Grace. Amazing grace did all the rest. And grace still does the same today for you and for me. Every time we confess our sins, every time we forgive someone who has hurt us, every time we choose compassion over judgment, our eyes open a little more. We begin to see the world the way God sees the world. Excuse me. We begin to see others as beloved children of God, no matter the color of their skin or the language of their heritage. And one day, by God's mercy, we will see fully. But until then, our Lenten prayer might simply be this: Lord, open our eyes, so that we too may say with the healed man in the gospel, and with John Newton on board that ship so long ago, "I was blind, but now I see."